From our Chicago area studios, this is Behind the Destruction, your Demolition Derby podcast. And now for your hosts, Chris Neumer and Steve Gursky Jr. Welcome to Behind the Destruction.
This is episode number one of Behind the Destruction for the week of November 27th, 2011. I'm Chris Neumer. With me on the other side of the room, Steve Gursky Jr.
Howdy.
Our guest today is Orange Crush runner
extraordinaire
Ryan Bluer.
This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Heavy Metal Performance. Located in Rockdale, Illinois, HMP specializes in high-performance diesel engines. Whether you want routine maintenance, repairs, or want to go all out and add a custom lift kit or bulletproof transmission to your truck, and let's be honest, who hasn't been in a situation where they've needed a bulletproof transmission? HMP is up for the occasion. For more information, call 866-467-7971 or visit heavymetalperformance.com. Well, Steve, this is the first episode of the podcast, and I was realizing that, you know, even on the off chance that people are aware of my writing or your racing career, they probably don't have any clue as to what our backgrounds are. You know, and what, if anything, qualifies us to talk about the Demolition Derby in any capacity. Well, looking at you, I don't think there's anyone who's actually more qualified. I know you've driven for 5 years. You've won a championship. You look, you know, it seems like you're in the right seat for a most outstanding driver of the year this year. And that, you know, you've been following racing for your entire life. I know your dad's fond of telling me that your mom was climbing on the fences over at Santa Fe while she was pregnant with you.
Yes, I've heard that story many times.
And for me, well,
I think you've been in a couple accidents.
Yeah, I have been in. I've been in a number of car accidents.
One thing I found really interesting was that when I first became involved with the TDA, writing the book that I did following the Team Reckoning, which you were part of last year in 2010, was how whenever I talked to a driver in a different situation, like on a different team, they always had a wildly different idea of what was going on with everyone else. You know, like your rivals were Orange Crush, and so if I talked to Orange Crush, they'd have one idea of how things was going. You'd have another, and, you know, a different team like Seek and Destroy or Damage Inc., they'd have a third and fourth different idea. Because nobody really talked to everybody. Rumors run rampant. Actually, that's not...
Rumors, misconceptions, however you want to look at it.
They spread faster than the plague. And they're all wrong. And it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think the one thing that I really want to accomplish with this podcast is just an ability to have a sort of uniform version of things where it's like, you know, I hear all the time that people go, oh, so-and-so is cheating or, oh, so-and-so is doing this. And nobody ever calls and asks, hey, is this the case? Or, hey, were you cheating? Just to get the full story. And I'm sure people could lie, but it's like, I like the opportunity to do that, to just sort of get everybody on the same page. What about for you? What are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, the main thing is, you know, kind of give an inside view to the outsider, you know, of what actually goes on, you know, besides just on the track. But, you know, maybe hopefully give the fans a view of some of the drivers, you know, maybe help some of the drivers and teams clear up some of these rumors, you know, get some people in here, get some truth out of the stuff and
yeah.
See where it goes, you know.
Well, that's another thing is that I've noticed that if I ever say anything negative, if I ever wrote anything negative about any of the teams, that people would automatically assume that I had either something personal against them or that I was anti that team. And I always found this interesting because the one thing that I always try to do is back up anything that I say with fact. Like, for example, Damage Inc. I was probably on the... I probably wrote more negative things about them than anyone else this year. And I'd say that was the case because, you know, I got to witness them banging on the hood of their car with an axe at the track. You know, I don't know whether they were trying to cut seatbelt holes or whether they were trying to bring the hood down more because it was...
Or maybe they're just having a bad day, you know?
Yeah, you got to take out your frustration somehow, but it's like that's not the kind of thing you want to see at the track.
And so is that because I'm anti-damage ink? Absolutely not. It's because I'm anti-people showing up to the track and hitting their cars with axes.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, we might take some heat from this podcast. You know, maybe we're going to say some things that people aren't going to agree
maybe.
With.
Maybe.
Okay, that's what we're here for.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
But I think that people can, they can reach us. They can contact us through our Facebook pages or through the website, behindthedestruction.com. But the thing is, we're here, we're trying to shine light on things and promote what I think is one of the most underappreciated sports, professional sports in America
awesome
today.
Sports. Awesome. Gladiator sports is what it is.
It is.
Yep.
And it never ceases to amaze me, like, how popular the county fair or the freestyle demolition derbies are. And then, and you know, they're not bad. But then you see the team demolition, and, oh, it's good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't take away anything from a fair-style derby, you know. But, you know, I mean, the team demolition derby is it's a totally another animal. Into the fact of the speed that you get, the power, you know, the shots that they take, you know, just the added danger because the cars aren't as built as, you know, a lot of the county fair stuff. And, you know, I mean, realistically, speed. Speed kills.
Yep.
Speed's awesome. The faster you go, the more the fans like it, you know.
Yep, fire.
And, you know, if people find county fair stuff interesting, they definitely would fall in love with team demos.
Oh, no, I know. Like, you know, the way I always tell people when they're like, oh, it's pretty much the same. And I go, oh, God, no. And they're like, well, what do you mean? And I always say, imagine you're dating a girl, your first girlfriend. You know, she's all right. She's a six. You know, she's not that attractive. She's sweet enough. And then the next thing you know, you get like Cindy Crawford circa 1993 with a doctorate in like chemical engineering. I mean, it's like you just step up and it's like, holy God, what was I doing before? And that's the way I feel about this. Like, I've never been anything but an unabashed fan of this, you know, from the first race I ever saw on. It was like, oh yeah, I need to save money for this. I had to quit crack so I could keep watching the TDA.
Yeah, I feel for you. I stopped doing crack also to race in the TDA, you know, just to build engines.
Yeah,
I
well,
jeez,
you did trade one addiction for the other, and that is kind of fair, the addiction of crack to the TDA, but here we are. So, you know, another thing that I've read, and it's funny because how many people contacted me to tell me that I was pro Reckoning or pro Orange Crush or anti Reckoning or anti Orange Crush, and really,
well, you did write a book about Reckoning, so I mean,
I can. It's one of those things where it's understandable. You're never going to hear me saying you're an idiot for questioning whether I have a bias, but there's also a level of objectivity that people can have, and it's sort of I think that's something that, you know, you and I talked about is, can we actually look at this and can we hopefully talk somewhat intelligently about things without letting our personal biases go? And I'm going to speak for myself, and I'm going to say I'm going to try. I think I can do okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love team demos, the sport, so much that even as a driver, you find yourself kind of rooting for different teams. You know, I mean, regardless of this, if this team could take you out, type of deal. You know, if there's a race between Mean Green and Orange Crush, you want to watch it. You know, I mean, because I absolutely love the sport.
Yeah. So I know you like to watch Mean Green and Bad Company, and I found Full Throttle to be one of the more entertaining teams to watch. They, you know, they have a good veteran presence. I love watching Ronnie Johnston race. I mean, he fights smart, he drives hard. It's like those are two great qualities I see.
Yeah, I mean, just as long as it's a you know, competitive races. I think, you know, Team 8 Damage Inc. takes a lot of flack because, you know, they usually have fill-ins or they have younger guys or, you know, they're just not prepared to race and people don't want to watch the race. And as a driver, you don't want to face them, you know, go out there and wreck your stuff. You know, they might have a hasher car or something that's not set up really well. You know, it is what it is and you'll have that, but you know, the main thing is I could sit and watch two competitive teams, even if they're, you know, in the same bracket as the team that you race for that night. And you're going to face them, but you're kind of rooting for them, you know. It's Mean Green, you know, these guys have worked hard, you know. Let's see them win, you know. Let's face them because you want the, you know, toughest competition you can go after. That, you know, that's the whole point is being competitive.
Well, I think my favorite race of the last season, like the one that I was entertained by the most, was Mean Green and Full Throttle whenever both teams could have laid claim to winning. I watched that and I just had a big grin on my face the whole time. And I was actually like, I hope this doesn't end. And it was a longer race as races went. I mean, you know, it did have six laps after all, but
yes, it did.
But, I remember thinking, God, I don't want this race to end. And it's, you know, I love that. And I think that's, you know, there it is. Are they the two best teams? No. But they were good teams and they were fighting hard. And that's always good to see.
Yeah, it was a good race.
Now, one other thing that I want to be very clear to enumerate, so to speak, is that we are not actually in any way connected with the TDA or any Demolition Derby leagues anywhere. We are a freestanding media entity. We have no overseers other than what we ourselves allow out. So there are no censors. We don't have to run it by any editors. This is just us and the website BehindTheDestruction.com as a new media entity to write about the Demolition Derby.
To make you people more aware.
Yes, that.
The main thing. You need to check this out.
I did, in fact, write for the TDA website and still like them, still will contribute to them. And if anything else, hope at some point in time to have Sherry Heckenast or her husband, Shane McMartin, on. I mean, they have a freestanding invite to come on the show and participate at any point in time, but it probably does need to be said that we are not actually...
They do not employ us.
Yes, we are not under their
employment. We are not bound legally to kiss their ass at all.
Yes, we can say things like we are not legally bound to kiss their ass with no repercussions. So, you know, one question somebody asked, because I've had the... we've been planning this for a number of months now, is what the name of it was going to be. And, you know, my first choice and the one that you liked the most was calling it the Pod Crash. And
the Pod Crash, I mean, heck, perfect.
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 Simple, short, to the point, and some sons of bitches who run an indie music site have taken it for their own.
Indie music.
I don't understand how it works, but that is the case. And we will probably and hopefully develop a natural rivalry with them. Because really, what is a podcast without a rival?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's anything without a rival?
This is true.
Come on now.
And so after the pod crash was ruled out by, you know, any number of legal precedents and copyright issues, we went back to the drawing board and came up with some names that were, I would say, less than successful.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some in there that I liked, but of course you shot down.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, what was one? Derby Sanchez.
Yes, podcast. The Derby Sanchez. I do remember that one. And I also was a fan of Neumer and Gursky's Demo Love Affair. But you know, you always can take these things in the wrong way.
Yeah, you know, depending on who you're around, you know, you might get some funny looks, you know. But I mean,
especially if you tell them that it's you record something called Bumping and Grinding with Chris and Steve.
Yes, that definitely. I mean, I figured, hey, you know, I had a perfect one. You know, of course, you know, you frowned on it. We'll say, you know, Nancy and the Tough Guy.
But
you don't like being called tough, so
that,
I mean,
that is true.
Fine,
I did not think that was good. But you know, you shot down Chris and Steve, no tranny shafts and rear ends. I mean, that one was shot down so quickly that I don't even know where to start.
It just seemed a little long. That was a little long. Heck, wow, Backdoor Bashers.
Yeah, we thought about that for a while.
You know, I mean, that might have a sexual innuendo.
Really,
possibly.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, but that I like the alliteration, but. Yeah, there was that. And then Chris and Steve Take You Into the Pits was just again.
I mean, we could take you anywhere. I mean, if you want to go in the stands or
but,
pits.
But, you know, there were the pits. You know. And then there was that one where you suggested calling it the Adam Carolla Show, and I just did not understand that. I thought maybe, but no.
Well, you know, people, when they search for him, we would be there, so.
This is true. We would certainly have a good Google listing. And before finally we ended up with Behind the Destruction, actually... If you recall, we were sort of debating between Behind the Demolition and Behind the Destruction, and I don't know. I think we've actually settled on this about like 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, and since then, now I look at Behind the Demolition, and I'm like, what the hell are we thinking? Well, what we're going to do is take a quick break, and we will bring out our first guest, Orange Crush Runner.
Extraordinaire.
Ryan Bleuer. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Heavy Metal Performance, a family-owned and operated business located in Rockdale, Illinois. Much to the chagrin of their doctors, the guys at HMP live, eat, and breathe diesel. In the amount of time it takes you to listen to this episode of Behind the Destruction, HMP can add up to 124 horsepower to your truck. Nothing says Merry Christmas, honey, like more horsepower. For more information, call 866-467-7971 or visit heavymetalperformance.com.
Welcome back to the Behind the Destruction podcast. Our guest today is Orange Crush driver
extraordinaire
Ryan Bleuer. Ryan, thanks for being here. Well, you guys did something unusual this year too, which was you added a sixth driver to your championship team. And I know teams have had six drivers before, but usually it's like over the course of a season. Did you find that impacted things much for you?
Well, everybody thought it was going to be easier. You can have a rotation, which I build cars to show up and race. I don't like to build a car and sit there and watch other teammates race. I don't mean to be greedy, but that's what I do. That's what I love to do, and that's...
Oh, you want to play.
Oh, yeah, you put the time in, you know, and sitting at the lineup, your guys go out there and lose. And let's say, you know, the guy that replaced you ended up having a horrible race, you know that the outcome could have been different, you know. And with it being such a short season and points being so important, it's hard to get them back.
It's especially with that, it just sitting watching, it drives me nuts. I can't do that. But you're only as strong as the rest of your team. So you have to go out there and be a team. A happy team's a winning team. That was always a big saying. Yeah. And we weren't that happy this year. It seems like everybody's at each other's throats, and you go through hell. The whole season, you sacrifice everything for at least 6 months or more. If you're building 12 cars at least every month, you don't have time to do anything. You don't have time for your family. You don't have time for going to parties or this or that. It's a lot of sacrifices, and it actually over a couple of years it takes a toll on you, and then it just people get tired of it. They need to actually walk away.
Even if you just play like pickup basketball, you know, like or in a league or something like a rec league, you know, you want to start, you want to play. You don't want to show up and, you know, be told, all right, you're going to sit for the first 10 minutes or you're coming out of crunch time. You want to be in. Like now Reckoning had the four drivers and a backup driver. Like if you brought in another two drivers into your rotation so that, you not only had the five, but added in an extra driver to swap out, like how do you think that would have impacted you guys?
You know, you'd create animosity for one thing. I mean, you know, like I was saying, you know, you get out there, you sit out and you lose a race. You know, it's not that you're what you are is you're upset with that guy that replaced you, you know, because when you sit out, definitely I could have done better than that. You know, in a loss, you can say that.
Actually, that's true. Even if you like the guy, it's like, if anything happens to his car, you can just start, you can get angry at some guy that you really like.
Yeah, like, fuel pump went out, you know. Well, you can't tell that's going to happen, you know. But, hey, I told you to change that, you know. Hey, you know, a-hole, you know, and that's where everything gets going around.
Ryan, did you guys have stuff like that where it was like if there was a big race or if something came up that... you knew that you were just going to stick with the rotation, or was it something where you were like, somebody was like, all right, listen, you were supposed to sit, but we need Ryan in.
Well, we always waited till we saw the lineup for the night and then try to decide what was what. And it's hard to say, all right, you're sitting because I'm going in, because it's who's to say I'm better than that guy or they're better than I am. It's hard.
We can say that, though. Yeah. I mean, there's no, you know, we're not going to cut on anybody on your team, but okay, in let's say the last 3 years, the guys you race with, no one has more checkered flags than you. You know, is that because of you or is it because of them? You know, do they do such a good job, you know? But when you come down and look at it, it comes down to, all right, it's Elmer's turn to go in and Ryan's going to sit out and this race is for the championship. Well, no, I think that's when you need to say, yeah, you're going to sit and Ryan's going in. You know, I'm going in. This is a big race. You know, you can't deny that, you know, Elmer's good, but, you know, hey, proof's in the pudding, you know. Look at what I've done. You know, it's time, you know, time for me to fill that.
But
that
a lot of it, I give a lot of our success to our crushers, though, because they do a good job. They clear the way and they protect me as much as possible. They put themselves on the line in between me and somebody that's basically trying to kill me out there. So I give a lot of it to them. I have trust in my guys, but it is hard when it comes to that. Who's okay? I'm sorry, you're sitting or I'm sitting. That's the hardest thing, and I didn't want to be the person to do that.
That's what's nice about having a team owner that's kind of outside of it. He can say it, and then he's the guy who takes the fall.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It also is hard if you go out there and you lose, people were mad at me the last night. I had my axle ripped off. They were mad at me because they thought it was the car it was in, but it would happen to anybody.
Yeah, you could have done more. You know, I mean, you could have, you know.
Yeah.
At least made it past turn one. That would have been nice.
You had a run of bad luck this year on your things, and I heard a number of people, and, you know, the TDA president, Sherry, mentioned it before the last race that, you know, there was some sabotage going on. And I'd heard a number of people who thought that this was merely an excuse that you guys were using to explain why you weren't, you know, coming away with just win after win. But since we've got you here, what was going on? What was happening?
There's times when you go over your car, actually all of them, and you know what's done to them, and you yourself put your tires on, and then two other people check them for you, and you make it to turn one, and your wheel falls off.
Lefty loosey, righty tight.
Yeah. Oh, when four lug nuts are completely taken off, and they leave one on, and one of our other teammates' cars that painted his wheels that morning before he put it on the trailer, and he found his car later. He didn't race it. He found his car later. And you can see where four were completely, they're on like the last thread. You can see where it was painted and where they were loosened up to.
Well, I mean, I guess my question is, or my statement, I guess, would be, it'd have to be someone that's on your team, okay? Because you said that, you know, you
or has access to the pits.
Well, I mean, what he said was, you know, I put them on it and then someone else rechecks them for me. Well, I mean, you know, you didn't ask me to come check your lug nuts, you know. I mean,
I'm sure you would have checked them for me.
You know, I mean, it's one of them deals where, you know, it's got to be someone on the, you know, within the team, not on it as in driving. But why would there be someone there that would sabotage the team that they're helping or that they're associated with?
I don't think
with,
it was anybody on our team. Actually, my two guys that I always bring with me to the races are my helpers. They weren't there that day, and they usually watch my cars and everything like that if I have to go somewhere. But when I parked my trailer to check into the pits, it was way in the back all by itself. And the other car on that trailer is a two-car trailer. The other one, I had a brand-new motor that somebody took a hammer to my oil pan and smashed it. We don't know who it is, but we know because at first when we're like, someone's been here because we've had our radiator hoses were cut, radiators were smashed, our harnesses were cut and taken apart and gone. And there's just too many things happen at one time. That one day we're driving all the cars, and the next day half of them don't run right. The other ones are radiator or smashed to bits and everything like that. And we're like, somebody was here, and people were, oh, okay. Until the next race, when something happened, my parents that still live there on the farm, they heard somebody pulling out at 4:30 in the morning.
It was at 4:15. No. I mean, yeah, 4:30 that was, yeah.
That's what killed it for me this year is everybody, yeah, people can still say, oh, that didn't happen. I know what, if you put that much time into everything, just like you, you know what's done to your cars, and then all of a sudden you come back the next day and stuff's moved around. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I mean, I've never had the problem, and you know, living up where I live, and you know, I pretty much build alone, you know, and it's all inside. I don't have to worry about it. I don't even have to worry about, you know, people who I don't even know, you know, stealing stuff from me. I don't have to worry about that. And you know, demos. The racing and building stuff like that is stressful enough. I couldn't imagine having to worry about, you know, what's happening to our stuff. You know, I mean, the time that you put into it to come on, you know, Friday, the day before race and find that stuff, that would destroy you, destroy the whole, I guess, mojo of the team. You know,
you got a lot of money tied up in it and people are coming and smashing with hammers and cutting hoses and everything like that. It's disappointing. If it's got to come to that, then I'm not going to go through it.
Well, I mean, do you have any ideas? I mean, you don't have to say a name or anything.
No, we really don't know. We didn't know if it's people that just hated the people that were on our team or didn't want to see us win anymore.
You know, I mean, you know, between the Junkyard Dogs and Orange Crush, you know, you've been on the winning end a lot. And, you know, what it is obviously your fans are going to like it, but other people, whether it's fans or people you race against, they get tired of it, you know.
Yeah, you are a very polarizing figure. Love them or hate them.
Right, you know, and I know as being always, you know, a second-place team and doing well, you know, I've watched, you know, I like watching racing, so I'll watch people who have YouTube videos that they post, and, well, they can't mute, Yeah, they can't mute their comments and stuff. And it's funny to listen to people's opinions on the other side that you don't get to hear. You know, look at those cheating guys. The only thing they do is hit in the driver's door. And it's like, it's funny, you know, I don't get insulted, but it's just odd how people kind of warp their mind to, you know, the only reason they win is because they're cheating.
Oh, I don't know how many times I heard cheaters every time you walk by.
Yep. Well, if you're winning, you're cheating.
Had hot dogs and beer thrown through the fence and everything.
I have not experienced that.
We had fans get into my grandma's six at the time. Just walking through the parking lot. It was my family walking through the parking lot after a race, screaming in my grandma's face.
Now, to be fair, his grandmother is really good looking.
People get in her face about it, and it's just, really? They don't have anything to do with it. They're just our fans. There's my family. Yeah. I think it's dangerous, a little more dangerous up in the stands than it is down in the pit.
Yeah, there was a race this year, too, that after we – yeah, I mean, I didn't have – I mean, getting stuff thrown at you or having relatives, pretty much assaulted, that didn't happen, to me. But, I mean, like stuff like – you win a race, you slide sideways, pull up to the wall, and you have people flipping you the bird. And, I mean, that's okay. I mean, hey, they're that into it. That's fine. But, you know, when they start throwing stuff at you or actually physically, you know. Actually, I think you had stuff thrown at you one time.
Yeah, I was wearing a black shirt. I don't even know if it said Reckoning on it. And I was going up to the press box, and people threw some cups at me. And I was like, I made a point not to wear Reckoning.
Yeah, you know, I mean, my mom, I mean, she's, you know, she sits up there, nieces and nephews of mine. Actually, I had my son come to one race and this year, and my wife sat up in the stands, which she sat up there one time when I raced on Stranglehold, and she had some drunk guy calling her names and getting in her face and stuff. So she never been up
there. I apologized.
Well, you should have. But this was the first time she sat in the stands. I think it was the third race this year, you know, and I was worried. It was on my mind that, you know, my 3-year-old son is in the stands, you know. I mean, and people are inebriated and very rowdy, you know, and of course he's wearing Reckoning shirt, you know, so I was concerned, you know. But I mean, you know, how the level that they take it sometimes, you know, screaming at your your grandmother, you know, I mean, wow. I mean, it's insane.
Tough. Yeah. So, Ryan, for you, does it get easier knowing, like, I mean, it's got to be an interesting experience that you go out, you build well, you know, you're respected in the league as being one of the premier drivers. I'm taking you first in my fantasy demo league. Is it weird to have people who hate you for just who you are?
That people don't, there's a lot of people that are, especially on Facebook, on the internet, people are so quick to judge. They don't even know me, and that's what drives me nuts. That I don't even like to go on there, especially if we lose a race. I don't go on there. Period, because it's so aggravating to people they're so quick to judge you when they don't know the first thing about you. They just know you drive that car and you must be a cheater and this and that. And
well, I'm sure 90% of them, if you walked through the stands, they wouldn't even know who you were.
If I didn't have a helmet on or my coat on, I could walk right by them and they. Even the ones with the biggest mouths on there, I can walk right past them. I don't know them. They don't know me.
Well, what it is I think, you know, there's fans and there's fanatics, you know. I mean, I think some of the fans are probably more into the racing than some of the drivers are. I mean.
And I think there's also another category of people who are drunk and like to fight and yell.
Yeah, a lot of them. Team Demos brings that out. That's the demographic we're shooting for, I'm guessing.
Yep. All right, well, Ryan, before we let you go, we've got one section that I created as a homage to Craig Kilborn, the 5 questions. All right. This fruit is known as the Chinese apple. What is it?
I have no idea.
That is sad. It is the orange. Oh, goodness.
Thanks.
I have a quote here in my hand as I was to interview... was interviewing people for the book, and this is what somebody said about you, and I want to know who said this. Ryan is what? Conceited? Stuck up? Arrogant? This is about you. Ryan is what? Conceited? Stuck up? Arrogant?
Obviously, it's somebody that I don't think knows me at all.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. It is your mother.
Wow, that must be a sarcasm, huh?
It actually is your mother. She said it when
Thanks,
we were all
Mom.
At dinner. Yeah. We were talking about reputations. So, taken slightly out of context there, but we were discussing how off reputations were, and your mom was explaining what your reputation was. I thought, all right. Who has the best hair on your team?
Brickman. He just has the nice Charlie Brown do going. It's perfect every day. He acts like he has a bad hair day, but I don't think how he possibly could.
Fair enough. And again, I want you to think about this. What is the smallest perfect number? That means it is the sum of its proper divisors. Smallest perfect number.
6?
Yes, it is indeed 6. All right, 3 out of 5 to start us off on that. Ryan, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Thus ends the first episode of Behind the Destruction. Please check back next week with our guests Michael Noble and Mel Noble Jr.
For Chris Neumer and Steve Gursky Jr., go Gursky or go home. I'm John Sunzimer. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and thank you for listening. For past episodes of Behind the Destruction and the latest Demolition Derby columns and interviews, please visit BehindTheDestruction.com. You can follow us on our Facebook page or follow Chris Neumer on Twitter @CNeumer. CNEUMER.